It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Contemporary Youth Arts Company in Charleston is staging a classic horror film.
The Blob is a really cheesy show, but it's a lot of fun. And you can't leave this theater without smiling.
That's Austin Sussman, one of the young actors in the show. The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. It's been a little over a year since Governor Tomlin signed the Justice Reinvestment Act into law, but the state is already seeing tremendous decreases in the number of people in prison. That decrease is thanks to a new way of thinking about the correction system, which Tomlin equates to being smart on crime. Ashton Mara explains.
Shortly after Governor Tomlin took office, his administration decided to take on an issue that's plaguing not just West Virginia, but many states across the country. That problem? Prison overcrowding. In West Virginia, prisons were full. Regional jails were over capacity, holding inmates that should be in a penitentiary. And the recidivism rate, or the rate at which released prisoners were reoffending, had skyrocketed. So Tomlin, with the Council of State Government's Justice Center, began to study the systemic problems within the corrections system. Justice Center Director Michael Thompson says those issues, not just for West Virginia, but for the entire country, stretched back into the 80s, when crime rates began to spike and a tough-on-crime mentality was adopted. Offenders were locked away in prisons that states were building at alarming rates, but little thought was given to how to actually integrate those offenders back into society.
Simply locking people up for a few years and then just dumping them back on the streets after that wasn't good for public safety. It wasn't good fiscal sense, and it also wasn't helping the communities to which those people were returning.
And that's where the Justice Reinvestment Act comes into play. The bill, which passed the state legislature in 2013, took West Virginia-specific data and molded it into a solution to prison overcrowding, a problem that was growing quickly. According to the governor's office, the prison population in the state between 2007 and 2012 grew by 20%, and estimates showed that trend would continue. Governor Tomlin.
Estimates show that in 5 years, a projected 1,400 additional offenders would break our existing system and would require the construction of at least one new prison facility at an estimated cost of $200 million. And this $200 million was in addition to the funds that the Division of Corrections would need to operate the new prison.
In a state that's struggling to balance its budget, a new $200 million facility just wasn't in the cards. So instead, the new legislation looked at alternative ways to reduce those numbers. The bill focuses on rehabilitating offenders through classes while they're in prison, helping prepare nonviolent offenders for probation and parole, and focusing on providing community-based substance abuse treatment. The bill increased the amount of supervision offenders receive after they are released and also helped create more county drug courts across the state as an alternative to prison. New numbers show those programs are working and the prison population is declining. Tomlin presented those new numbers in Washington yesterday. He reported over the last year, West Virginia has decreased its prison population by about 21%. In the regional jails, the population is down by more than 50%. More than 1,000 fewer people are in prison than what was projected for 2014. With all of the success, Tomlin says there is still work to be done. But he says he's teaming up with national, state, and local groups to find innovative solutions to help inmates return to their communities and become productive members of society. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
College students from all over the region visited Marshall University this week to find out if the field of medicine was meant for them. Clark Davis has the story.
Stopped, clot's gonna form.
That's Chuck Clements. He's a doctor in family medicine at Marshall University's Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine. He's also the instructor for a wilderness medicine program that, according to med school officials, was the only one of its kind at inception. He taught many of the techniques he teaches in a med school class to undergraduate college students from around West Virginia and Virginia. Students from Bethany College, Concord University, Marshall, Shepherd University, the University of Charleston, West Virginia Wesleyan, and Hampton University in Virginia were there. Clements says there are techniques that anyone in medicine should know.
One of the things that we think the school feels is important, that we're not just going to take care of people in our little boxes, the hospital and the office. We're citizens of the community, and as my boss once said, once you put the white coat on, you never take it off. And your neighbors and your friends all know what you do.
Clements says they use the same techniques that any med student would learn in a classroom setting. But it's about putting students in a setting where all the usual materials aren't present, thus forcing them to be creative.
We need to give students an opportunity to learn how to take care of people when they're away from all their toys that they have in the office. So we give everybody an opportunity to learn some basic skills that they can use when they're out playing and doing things with their friends.
They learn things like splint building and the unique ways required to stop the bleeding in an extremity when in the woods or on top of a snowy mountaintop. Hunter Cutlip is a native of Clarksburg and a student at Shepherd University.
You learn so much just from hearing everybody's story. I mean, things you don't even think about as far as what you're going to do with residency or what you might do through school or what to expect or kind of how to manage time. It's been quite the experience. I've learned a lot.
Elevate the wound if it's in his leg. Well, first off, if he's got a big old gash in his leg, he's not standing up. So he's over here. He's up here. So everybody can see.
The 15 participants also took part in classes that prepared them for the MCAT test. They also learned how to prepare a suture and what it's like to be involved in the hands-on simulators that are involved in clinical laboratories. Cutlip says he's not sure of the exact field of medicine yet, but this experience at Marshall has definitely paid dividends.
Not anything specific. I'd like to do something with surgery or something, but I don't have anything as far as schools or residencies or anything like that. I'm trying to keep my options open, and that's one of the things I've learned at the camp, too, is that, you know, you always need to be looking forward, and you can, depending on where you are, your rotations and all that, you can be surprised. So I'm trying not to make anything too concrete.
Jennifer Plimel is the director of the Byrd Center for Rural Health and associate dean of admissions at the School of Medicine. She says it is definitely about encouraging students to attend the Marshall Medical School, but also that if they're interested in medicine, you don't have to leave the state.
It's a wonderful recruitment effort, but it's also a retention. If we can get these bright young people in the state of West Virginia to come and stay in West Virginia to do their medical school training, and then go on to participate in a West Virginia residency program, we are more likely to keep them in the state.
Elevate it above the level of the heart. And look where it is. It's about that far above the heart. So we've got the decrease in pressure.
This is the second year of the Summer Academy. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:37. Mostly sunny skies today. However, there is a chance of rain and thunderstorms throughout the day. Temperatures in the 70s to around 80 degrees. Becoming cloudy overnight with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Lows in the 50s. Sunshine on Saturday with temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Mostly sunny for Father's Day on Sunday. Clouds and scattered rain return on Monday.
Support provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor, online at stateelectric.com.
In September 1958, The Blob, an independent horror science fiction film, was released by Paramount Pictures and Umbrella Entertainment. Starring Steve McQueen in his debut role, the film left a permanent mark in America's minds, and in 2006, Charleston's Contemporary Youth Arts Company took the film a step further, writing their own adaptation of the classic film in the form of a musical. Liz McCormick has more.
That's Duck and Cover, the opening number to Dan Cady and Mark Scarpelli's musical, The Blob.
It's the Steve McQueen movie, and we just thought, wouldn't it be fun to put it on stage? We turned it into a full-fledged musical, so this is song and dance, and it's not high-tech, and there's no... It's an interesting blob when you see it, and it's just campy. But it's been a lot of fun, and over the years I finally got permission from Jack Harris, who was the original producer of the original movie, who's still alive, to go ahead and do this for Festival this year. And it's been pretty exciting. So, it's funny, and it's family friendly. And the worst thing that's going to happen is parents are going to have to explain the history of the Cold War to their kids. But besides that, it's just a lot of fun.
This is the third time the Contemporary Youth Arts Company of Charleston will produce The Blob, the first of which was in September 2006 and the second in September 2009. The story takes place in the year 1957 in the small town of Downingtown, Pennsylvania. One fateful night, a meteor falls from space and lands in the middle of a farm, where a curious farmer goes to investigate. What he finds, however, is a small oozing blob slinking out of the meteor. To the farmer's horror, the blob attaches itself to his arm, and soon after, Steve and Jane, the main characters, find the farmer pleading for help. They agree to aid him, and the two teens take the farmer to the town's doctor.
And his arm is slowly being consumed, and so the doctor calls in the nurse, and as the doctor calls in the nurse, the blob consumes the farmer. But then the blob consumes the nurse, and then the blob consumes the doctor. And nobody believes the two teenagers who found the original, the farmer, that there's a monster out there. So they're running around the town trying to convince the town that there's a monster out there.
Katie says that even though this is CYAC's third time producing The Blob, things haven't necessarily gotten easier, and that with each new production, they are presented with new ideas and new challenges.
To try to adapt a movie onto the stage without any kind of camera angles, close-ups, special effects, it's very difficult. It's very hard to make it entertaining and keep the plot line going. And I don't know what the hardest thing was. I guess maybe that final scene with the diner and the fire extinguishers has always been tricky. It should work this time. We're going to build the diner on stage. Yeah, that would be the toughest one. And educate everybody in the cast what this thing is about, and about the Cold War, and about people worried about flying saucers and the whole nine yards.
The Blob is just one of many shows Katie and Scarpelli have written together. Their first show, Mary, a rock opera, was met with critical acclaim, and they continue to perform it annually around Christmas time. Caitlin Moore and Austin Sussman, two recent graduates from George Washington High School, are regulars of the Contemporary Youth Arts Company, and both say it's the atmosphere of the company that keeps bringing them back.
I love that the pieces are challenging and they're new, and it's different from what every other theater company is doing.
It's the shows and the people. You know, Dan and Mark write some wonderful shows, and I've made some great friends with other cast members and really great relationship with Dan and Mark as well. And also the theater. The Capitol Theater is a beautiful venue, and I love to perform here any chance I get.
CYAC has kind of become my second family. I've only been doing shows for 2.5 years, but it was the first time I ever stepped on stage acting, and I fell in love with it as soon as I did it. So ever since then, I cannot bring myself to take a break.
The Blob is a really cheesy show, but it's a lot of fun, and you can't leave this theater without smiling.
The Blob will open at the West Virginia State University Capitol Center Theater on June 19th. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
And for more information on the Contemporary Youth Arts Company and The Blob, visit our website, wvpublic.org. Rodney Crowell performs Moving Work of Art in this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Time is jammed and flying fast. My brakes are bad and the pothole's rough. I'm out here running from the past. What we had was not enough. And she just touched down in Hollywood. And her friends all say she's looking good. I saw it coming from the start. She's a moving work of art. Other night it's thick and the moon rings red, and the stars are out of place. My mind is liquid in my head, beneath the waves I see her face. I'll bet she pulls herself some tall coin down, turning heads out there in Tinseltown. Oh, she's so cool it breaks your heart. She's a moving work of art. Passes thrown, fall incomplete. She's as smooth as she is smart. She's a moving work of art. Don't you see how she sets herself apart? She's a moving work of art.
Rodney Crowell with Moving Work of Art. You can listen to this song again and more music on Mountain Stage Sunday afternoon at 2 here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Bohr, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director this morning is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.